Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to episode 92 of Soccer Over Gotham, Big Club Moves Edition 23. We have a great show for you all. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We do. We got a lot. Big club moves are correct. We got incredible news to cover. We're going to get caught up on all the roster moves. We will talk about the idea of a super team, which is funny. How is Gotham going to pay for all that? And the U.S. women's national team has also entered its nice swagger era. That we also are going to talk about the fallout from the expansion draft as Gotham gets out mostly unscathed. And then we look forward. So who should Gotham pick with their one draft pick? Let's see what the fans think. So, Ruby, there is like so much to talk about, so many headlines, so many moves, so many good things. It's been a while. How are you?
First of all, happy new year. Oh, my God. 2024. We made it, Gary. We're here. It's so crazy. And with everything that's happening, like it just makes it even better to start the year off with all these signings. I'm so excited for this season to start. Well, last time we recorded for the final, of course, championships. Oh, my God. It feels like it's been a long time, but not really, because this was back in November. I'm just so excited, Gary. How you been?
Been good. This has been the longest we've gone since we started without having a podcast, yeah. Which is crazy. And we talked, the last time we talked, we just crossed the 15,000 mark, and now we crossed the 16,000 download.
Yeah, that was
mark,
not so too long ago.
Yeah, so we're flying. Everything's going well. I'm excited for the new year. And, you know, let's just get started. Gotham has an opponent. Mm-hmm. The 2024 NWSL Challenge Cup between the defending NWSL champions, New Jersey, New York. Hold on. That sounds really good. I'm going to say that again. Defending NWSL champion, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, and San Diego Wave, the winner of the 2023 NWSL Shield, presented by CarMax, will take place Friday, March 15th, ahead of the regular season kickoff on Saturday, March 16th. The match will stream live on Prime Video, making it the start of the platform's 2024 NWSL programming that includes coverage of Friday night matches and a quarterfinal match in the league playoffs.
Amazing. Really, really good. I'm so glad I do have Prime, so I'm going to be watching. This is going to be an interesting match. I mean, Gotham's our champions, but we also have new additions to the team. So we'll see how soon they're able to gel on the field, if they're able to beat the Wave. Again, we have powerhouse additions that we're going to talk about in this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited. This is going to be a great matchup. And obviously, I can't wait to unveil this new lineup. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But another interesting fact about this match against San Diego is that we played against them four times. And out of the four times, Gotham has not been able to win. So San Diego has won all four matches.
Yeah, we're going to change that.
We better.
Let's just get into it. Let's just talk about our headlines. This podcast is our perennial big club moves for a reason. Let's get into some of these moves, shall we?
Let's do it.
On December 31st, 2023, at 7 a.m. on the Lord's Day, he woke us up at 7 a.m., New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC announced that the U.S. women's national team player, World Cup champion, two-time Olympian, three-time NWSL champion, three-time NWSL Shield winner, and NWSL MVP Crystal Dunn has signed a multi-year contract with the club through 2026. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that is. And that was a long list to say. But it's just, you know, that caliber of a player that we're getting, like, it's so amazing to get Crystal Dunn with us here at Gotham. Lots of rumors about Dunn coming in November. We all remember. By the way, Jenna, you still have to pay up your flute video. But now, you know, Crystal is here. It's official. And she's home. And one thing that I want to mention here that I thought it was interesting, how she said that she wanted to go where she felt appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the legend comes home. This is great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we have players on this team that 2 or 3 years ago were only a dream and nobody really wanted to play for Sky Blue or Gotham.
Yeah, on a personal level, this is it's like the best Christmas present I could get. I've been saying on this podcast since we started that I think Crystal Dunn is like the best of the best. Mm-hmm. I think she's one of the most pure soccer players that US has ever produced. And I said it all the time. And it's one thing to be able to root for her from afar, but to see her in person wearing the Gotham jersey in front of me in 106, wow. She's a local player. She gets like free child care because she's been close to home. Obviously, it's a big name that's going to bring local fans and hopefully get more people in the stadium. We just read it. She's a winner. She's won everything, and she's going to be chasing her fourth. Wow. Just amazing.
Yeah, and she has such a fun personality that I know that from the start, the chemistry with the team, it's going to be like immediate. Because of her, I just love her vibe, her energy around anyone. She's so fun. And I honestly cannot wait to like interview her when she like posts games and the mixed zones. Pretty sure we're going to get good content from her. And hopefully we can get her on the show. Maybe she can tell us her story. Hopefully we'll work on that, but nothing promised. And like you said, she's a winner. And I know with her on the team, this team is going to reach like new heights and new records.
Yeah, you mentioned that she's got a big personality. And immediately, she kind of feels like the face of the franchise in a way where, you know, Allie is stepping away. Crystal fills that role right away. She's already on like TV and she's kind of front and center. She's a player that you can build a team behind. Super excited.
One more thing. Shout out to Gotham front office, like putting all these players on TV, all the media news out there that came from the announcements of these players. I think it was top notch.
Yeah, but 7 a.m. it's rough. what's that about? Like, are they trying to get ahead of something? I don't know. It's like on a holiday. It's crazy. They could have waited an hour or two. I don't know.
Yes. Imagine for the people on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. They had to like kind of like wait 3 hours to know.
Yeah, that's craziness. But Gotham wasn't done there. There's two more signings that were announced today, a couple hours before we made the right decision by recording today and not yesterday. But Gotham announced the signings of both Rose Lavelle and Emily Sonnet to a multi-year contract through 2026 as well.
That was like we heard about the advanced talks with all these players, but at the same time, I hope I'm not the only one. I'm like, all right, this is crazy. We're talking to Dunn. We're talking to Tierna. We're talking to Rose and Emily Sonnet. Like, is this even real? Like, I was like, maybe we'll get 2 out of 4 in a good scenario, but Rose Lavelle and Emily Sonnet in this team, it's something that blows my mind.
Yeah, when it first came out, I immediately thought I was very skeptical because there was originally talks about Lavelle going to overseas. So I was like, maybe her agent's using this as like, you know, a bargaining chip to, hey, pay me more to go over there. But wow, Rose staying put here is incredible. And as we know, she's one of the best players in the world. And she almost single-handedly beat us in the championship game. So I guess she took that literally, if you can't beat them, join them. So
right.
And obviously Sonnet is one of the high, like super high soccer IQ, can play anywhere. And you just know you're going to have, she makes the right decisions all the time. Wow. And it's a perfect fit in the midfield when you're talking about logistically building a roster. If you're putting those three, they both fit so perfectly in that three with, you know, Lavelle and Dunn sitting ahead of Sonnet. Wow, that's just like Yael is putting together. She's like big soccer brain kind of decisions, and this is amazing.
Yeah, she's making it all is amazing. Right, yeah, it is amazing. Lavelle and Sonnet have shined throughout the year in 2023 with club and with country. They had some good performances at the World Cup. And they had great performances also in their club teams. I mean, the final against, like you said, they had to join us somehow or another.
got them returning 9 of 11 starters from the championship game, and one of those starters retired, and one of them is was replacement for an injured player. This is like Gotham was good to compete, and adding these players, like these two, feel a little bit like luxury signings to me. Like I'm more excited to talk about our next signing, which we'll hop onto next. But I feel like Gotham was good. I mean, like Gotham was good. And then Dunn, and then what we're talking about next makes us really good. And then this is like, it feels like just over the top.
Yeah.
You know, cup runneth over kind of signings. And let's just get to our next signing, which is obviously Ali Krieger left a hole in the back line. Mm-hmm. And Gotham signs, they announced on CBS that Tierna Davidson, the youngest player of the 2019 World Cup winning squad, has signed with the club again until the end of 2026.
I couldn't be happier with this signing. And we've been talking about Yael and all the work she's been putting in. She keeps working, and she had a task to find someone to replace Allie and to keep that back line strong, because I mean, Ali Krieger raised the bar. And of course, the front office and Yael had to go and find someone to, like you said, to fill that hole that Ali left. And I don't think they could have done any better with Tierna Davidson. Even though she's a young player, she is really, really good at what she does. And her soccer IQ, I believe it's just really, really good. I think we're in good hands here with Davidson.
Yeah, if you want to give players a pass, she's had a rough year of it, coming back from an ACL injury to playing for Chicago, bottom of the table. Obviously, as Gotham fans, 2 years ago, we understand that the team's results don't always reflect the players that are on it. Mm-hmm. And Tierna is, wow. As I said on the Twitter space with Jenna, I saw the free agency list and I just circled her right away. I was like, that is the player. I don't care anybody else. That is the player I want in the squad. Put out an article saying that as well. If there was one player that fit this team perfectly, it was her and Maitani Lopez. Again, with Yael putting together a squad, like just those two, Maitani and Tierna, are going to be amazing together. They both got a lot of speed. They both can get back. They're both good in the air, good with the ball at their feet. It's just, What a pairing. Did you can leave them on an island and they can pass out of danger, and it just makes us even more dangerous. As we said before, like the other two are luxury signings again to me, but wow, this was the one I really wanted and I got it. And
I know you've been having your eye on Tierna for a long time. And there you have it. I feel like you keep manifesting all these things for Gotham.
It's true. It's true. So let's talk about the idea. The idea of a super team, you know, fans across Reddit and everywhere else is saying that Gotham's going to ruin the league, which, and it's funny because like everyone's like, yay, free agency. And then Gotham starts signing every free agent. And they're like, okay, maybe not. Maybe we shouldn't let players go where they want to go. Get out of here. But your initial thoughts on Gotham being a super team.
My first thoughts is like, honestly, it just sucks to be the other teams. But we have such an incredible team right now that I feel that we're probably going to get another championship. We definitely are. I don't see why not. And if we don't, then there will be a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, when we first started covering this team, Gotham would like reach out to a rookie and be like, hey, we're like thinking about drafting you. And they'd be like, please don't. And like the year before we started, like the draft picks were like, peace out, sorry, I'm gonna go to Europe, I don't want any part of Gotham FC. And now it seems like Gotham has got the best coach available, they got the best coaching staff available, now they're bringing in the top line players, and it seems like, you know, everybody wants to be here. And which is surprising, because you would think that teams like Angel City would have, you know, just a similar amount of pull. But as we're going to get into, Yael is the key to all of this, and she is selling this team very hard. And Gotham is built differently. She is absolutely cooking. The culture is different. What Juan Carlos is building is incredible. It's a sophisticated, data-driven system that's fun. Mm-hmm. And they're not only putting together results on the field, and everyone seems to be having a good time and fun, but they're having fun off the field, and it's a very cohesive unit. And it's not just, again, not just Yael, but I think the players are selling the team as well. I think having Ali Krieger's probably on the phone, O'Hara's on the phone, they're all saying, come here, because this is where we want to be. We're all friends and we get along.
Yes, I was going to say that it doesn't matter how well Yael is trying to sell the team to any player. It doesn't matter how much they try. As long as the players sell the team as well, I don't think any player would like to come. Like you said, that rookie didn't even want to come over. It was kind of a bad thing on your resume. You didn't even want to sky blue to look at your way back then.
It's true.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it's the players doing the selling, doing the talk, telling hey, we have it good over here. You should come over.
Mm-hmm. And, as far as I'm concerned, just let us have it. We're all playing by the same rules. Gotham just seems determined to use every dollar of their money. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens in every league. There are destination teams. New York should always be one. This took too long to build this. But as I said early in the season, Gotham would be fielding a lot more phone calls in the offseason than they're used to. And I'm sure Yael's phone has been going off the hook, because I guarantee you that all the top free agents all have been looking at this team as well, see if they can be a part of it. And Gotham is where everybody wants to be. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, and I had a feeling that they were actually going to do kind of like last year, where we only had Jenna Nyswanger from the draft right now in the team. So I had a feeling that it was going to be similar this year to last year. I mean, last year we got Kelly O'Hara, and that was big news. They dropped the news before they signed her. They got fined, but they didn't care. I just love the moves that Gotham is doing.
Yeah. So let's talk about a potential. This is a potential starting 11 for Gotham FC. It's out of this world. We got Esther up top. We're going to have on the left Lynn Williams, on the right Midge Purse. A midfield of Dunn and Lavelle. Sitting behind them will be Sonnet. Nyswanger, rookie of the year. We'll get into her as well a little bit later. Davidson, Lopez, and Bernini across the back. Ridiculous. And then obviously Smith, who was having an unreal season last season.
Yes.
At anchoring the team. That is, we talked about ridiculous rosters, right? We talked about that. Yeah. It just keeps getting more ridiculous.
This feels what do you call it? Your fantasy, soccer, lineup. This is amazing to see, Sonnet, Lavelle, Dunn, Williams, all these players in on the field at the same time. Going to be ridiculous.
It will be. And we do have to talk about worst case scenario. Obviously, on CBS, they were talking and she was like, well, I think the national team coach is going to be watching a lot of Gotham games because half of her roster is going to be, this roster. If that does happen, and all of these, we got the Olympics this year, so they're going to be managing minutes, which Juan Carlos was amazing at managing minutes last year, so I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
But this is what we're looking at as probably the worst case scenario right now. Roster, if all the players go away for international duty, we would be up top. We would have Stengel. Left wing would be Smith. Right wing would be Ryan. Midfield of Sheehan, Farrelly, Martin. And then the back line of Freeman, Lopez, Edmonds, and Torres. We'll talk about her in a minute. And then, Smith is in the back. That's not bad. That's another 11.
This scenario is all the U.S. National team players will leave. But either way, this other starting lineup, it's pretty solid too.
Yeah. So the big question is, how are they going to pay for that? And, the immediate questions from fans and commentators is that Gotham is surely breaking the rules, right? No way they have this kind of cash. So the short answer is, as I put on my Twitter page, is that Gotham minus Krieger minus Mewis plus allocation money plus an increase in salary cap equals new players, which I think is true. Yeah. However, today they announced the increase in the salary cap, and it is now $27.50, and so $2,750,000. That's going to be used for a 26-player roster, which Gotham is using every piece of that 26-player roster. And also, the allocation money will go away, which is interesting as well, which I'm a big fan of. I always thought it was funny money. And so teams have to spend their allocation money by 2026, which I'm sure Gotham is doing that as well.
Yeah, I mean, Gotham got a big, the salary cap has increased, so that's amazing. Gotham got that money. like a Friday paycheck and went to the mall and spend it all. Treat yourself. Got all these players now. So like you said, like it makes sense how we were able to sign all these players with the salary increase, missing Krieger, Mewis, plus allocation. Yeah, makes sense. Like why we got all these players.
Yeah, it's also, I don't know, maybe because people are new to the sports or, you know, whatever. But it is interesting to see people think that these women are getting paid as much as they should.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. Like, I mean, it's weird because we've been a fan. We've noticed that these women have always been underpaid. So like yeah. they see like a national team player getting signed. They're like, she must, like in their heads, they're probably thinking she's going to make $15 million or something, right? It's mm-hmm. like, no, not quite close. And exactly. Even if you look at the like top earners in women's soccer, they almost double their salary in sponsorship deals. So mm-hmm. it's, these women are still not getting paid enough. In the MLS, the average salary is $350K. And mm-hmm. in the NWSL, even with the jump in salaries cap, it is 65K. So wow. It is a big difference. We still got a long way to go. But yeah. I'm glad that people think we're rolling in cash at this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a big difference, 65K. But like you said, we have like, I mean, within the past 2-3 years, the salary cap has increased, and that's great. That's good news. It's not where it's supposed to be, but hopefully it keeps going up and up as the years go. But just think about how a few years ago, I think the max was like $16,000 for these players. They had to like find side hustles to be able to like be financially stable at the same time as being a professional player. So now they can actually focus on just being a professional soccer player.
Yeah. And you also have to consider this as well. This is kind of ties it all together. But shout out to Pardeep Khatri, who's been doing wonderful work at CBS covering the league. And she got a quote from Yael, which basically tells you exactly what, you know, we're summarizing what we're talking about. The quote is, I think that people see free agency and they immediately assume players will look and see where they can get the biggest paychecks. And that's just where they want to go. And that's not always the case. Mm-mm. The first question we ask in every player meeting, and we will continue to ask, is, what is the most important thing to you approaching the next stage of your career? And what I always say is that not one of the players we spoke to said, my salary. So I imagine these players are probably not getting top dollar for coming to Gotham, but they want to be here because Yael has sold them on a vision.
Yeah, that's great. And like we've been talking all along, Gotham has been building this culture, this club where, you know, they put the player first and they're doing great.
Yeah. And speaking of putting players first, and I guess we can talk about player development, what an end to the year for Jenna Neiswanger and some of our other players. The U.S. women's national team has entered its Neiswanger era. Gotham FC's trio of Lynn Williams, Midge Purse, and Rookie of the Year, Jenna Neiswanger, took part in a late-year friendlies, Jenna making her debut, capping off an amazing first year as a pro.
Woo! Amazing. And like you said, yes, it is the Neiswanger era. And we knew this since the beginning of last year when she was playing for Gotham. We saw something special in her, and I admire how confident she is on the field. And like I said, she's just very special. I don't know.
Yeah, special player. It's a fitting reward for just a tremendous season.
Yeah. And I like that the new U.S. women's national team coach, Hayes, is paying attention to her. And I mean, she deserved to be on that team. She's putting in the work, Rookie of the Year, championship under her belt already. And I mean, only in her second cap, I mean, she got to be in the starting lineup. That's amazing.
Yeah, and she looked like she should have been there the whole time. She matched mm-hmm. the speed of play. She looked comfortable. Her growth this season has been tremendous, especially, you know, switching positions. And the coaching staff has just done an amazing job of supporting her. And I'm sure it helps having a player like Krieger next to you and the, you know, wealth of knowledge of Long and Edmonds and all those players. And it just shows you that Jen is not only super talented, but she's also coachable. She looked like she should have been there the whole time.
Yep. And like I said, so now she has 2 caps with the women's national team, and she has played 120 minutes. So 120 minutes clocked in. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's only the beginning. She's such a talent, and I hope that she makes it to the Olympics. That'd be amazing for her.
Yes.
But let's talk about some of the other moves that we've had this season. And the first move of the season was announced at the celebration for the trophy, and that was that Sinead Fairley has had her option activated, keeping her with the club at least till the end of 2024.
That's awesome. Another player that is very, very special. And I'm very happy about this. I feel like Sinead is, she just works in silence and she's just a hard worker. She's like a ninja.
Yeah, it's under the radar big move. And it's not just a big move for the club. It's a big move for the fans. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we all like her. She's a great addition for the team and a player that you just want to root for.
Exactly. I was able to talk to her at the Gotham season ticket member celebration at Red Bull Arena. And she was really happy to come back and she cannot wait for next season. And we might have her on the show next season. So wait for that episode to drop sometime next season. And it will be an honor to give her this space to tell her story.
Yeah. You know, this may sound crazy, but we didn't get the best version of Sinead Fairley last year. Coming back for what her journey was, she took 6 months to get up to speed for the end of his thought. She wasn't sure she was going to be on the roster. Then she made the roster. Then she got called into Ireland. And it's one thing to be mentally ready to play an NWSL season. It's also another thing to be physically ready. And you saw, like, throughout the season, she had, like, her knee taped up, her, mm-hmm. she had her wrist in a cast for a little bit. And she was always banged up, but she made it through. So now that we have Sinead, who's back in the flow of things, she's got a full NWSL offseason under her belt now. Gosh, I can't wait to see what she can do in this year coming up. Let's go, Sinead.
Let's go.
I want to talk about one other midfielder that might be returning to the club. I think it's safe to say she'll be back. I mean, it makes too much sense for her not to be, but I'm super excited about this player if she does eventually sign the contract and come back. I hope that they announce it soon. Is Taryn Torres. I hope that she comes back for this roster. She was offered a new contract. Your thoughts on Torres possibly coming back?
Honestly, I would love to have her back too. We saw her training with the team at the end of last season. So she was not back from injury, but she's now training, which is really, really good. We have to remember that in 2022, she was a key part for Gotham last year, like keeping that midfield. And we were comparing her to Ally Long. She had that talent, that raw talent, and that reminded us of Ally Long. And I know that when the national team players go away, we're going to need her to step up.
Yeah, I mean, what terrible luck did she have so far in her career? I mean, first she got drafted by Freya. Sorry. even at like Angel City, Freya gave the lowest amount of minutes to rookies and young players. It's just what she does. And it's terrible. And then we had so many players go off overseas to get minutes because they just could not find it here. It stinks. Bad luck. Then she had to deal with the Parkinson situation and all that. It was just a big mess. And then finally, she gets a coaching staff that develops players and she tears her ACL. So I'm saying it here that if she does sign, 2024 is going to be the year of Taryn Torres.
All right. We're going to bring back this audio when it happens.
Yes. We had Taryn on the show. She's just a calm, funny, good person. And she's a student of the game. And like, as you said, we saw her training with the team. And every time you would hear little stories about her around the club, and she's in the coach's room and she's learning along with the team and she's involved in all the back end stuff. So I think she's a good quality person that I can't wait to hopefully have her back on the field. So let's go, Taryn. Let's go, team. Announce Torres. All right. Now, we also had the expansion draft. I think we needed to talk about that because it's very interesting. Gotham escaped the expansion draft, the double expansion draft, losing defender Ellie Jean to Racing Louisville and keeper Mandy Haught to the Utah Royals while gaining $150,000 in allocation money, which I'm sure that is gone.
It's pretty much gone by today, but it was gone yesterday. but losing two great players, it really, really, really sucks losing those two players in this expansion draft. The league has come a long way, but probably it still needs a little more work to do on that side. I hope that they're happy where they are, and we'll still be rooting for them.
Yeah, I hate it. The NWSL, in order to be the best league in the world, they need to start charting their own course. making their own way and let people reflect what they're doing instead of mimicking what other leagues are doing. The expansion draft stinks, and good on the coaches, the players for being vocal about how much I do not like this. And again, we're at a point where players not having a voice in where they play is, it seems beyond this league at this point. So I'm hoping that changes. Sorry, Boston. Got to find a new way to get your, with all that, that's with the salary cap increase, with free agency, they should be able to pull that off.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure we're not the only ones that think that. I'm pretty sure the players also have voiced this. So it, hopefully it happens sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but let's talk about the players that we did lose. One was Mandy Haught.
Yeah, Utah better treat our girl right. Mandy really stepped up last year for the team when Abby Smith got injured. And Mandy was able to secure a championship for the club. And I can see why other clubs wanted her to be on their team. She's just great talent.
Yeah, I said this a long time ago, but I said Mandy was as good as gone. I said she was going to be the top player in the expansion draft, like right from the jump. And when Abby went down, I made it a point to tell everybody to calm down. Mandy's got this. She's such a talent. She's young and she's good. And she's she got offers some clubs overseas, the whole thing. Good for them. They won the Mandy Haught sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we should also talk about losing Ellie Jean as well.
Yeah, I mean, very talented. And she even got player of the match in one of the games last season. I know she's a hard worker, great human being. I think she will shine in Louisville. And I know you're devastated because you started the Ellie Jean train, hype train.
I did. Yeah, I'm the original conductor of the Ellie Jean hype train. And I'm still going to root for her. Obviously, hashtag Once Gotham was made for players like her. And she's a talented player. She works really hard. And I still think that her interview was one of our better ones. And if you haven't looked into it yet, it's a fun interview. We talk about things outside of soccer that are just enlightening and personal. And yeah, again, that's one of my favorite interviews that we've done. I'm not a fan so far of what Racing has done for their club. But I think if there's a coach that can turn this team around, it is hashtag Once Gotham Bev Yanez, who it just seems like everybody glows when they talk about her. She's one of those people. So I'm excited for her. Good luck, Ellie.
Good luck. And I think at the end of everything, I think Gotham did well in the expansion draft. Yeah, Ellie's cooking and, you know, she's just cooking out there.
I think that given the what we could have lost, I think losing a backup keeper and a backup central defender and gaining some cash is pretty good. So good on Yael, another home run out of the park. Obviously, we had Abby signed for a long-term contract. She's going to be our starter. Mandy gets her minutes. Everybody else is happy. I think it worked out well. A-plus for Yael. But Gotham did lose a couple other players to the Utah Royals, which is free agent defender Amani Dorsey, and Ifeoma Anamanu for $40,000 allocation money, which I'm sure is gone.
Oof. First of all, $40,000 for Ify, that's like a 90% discount on her. They got so lucky. She is underrated. I hate to see her leave, but at the same time, I have to acknowledge that securing a starting spot at Gotham right now, it's going to be really hard and competitive. So if she's going to get more minutes in Utah, I'm all up for it.
Yeah, you have to look at it in a couple different ways. Like one, when a player has agency and they choose where they want to go, the team that they're coming from doesn't have the bargaining power they used to. If you're moving a player where they don't want to go, you can say, you need this player. Here's the money. But like they say, I want to go to Utah. It's like, okay, well, we have to take a discount on letting her go. So that's probably why the fee is a little bit lower. And she hasn't been playing many minutes. She fell down the depth chart. She wasn't even in the 18, I think, for the championship or at least the playoffs. So overall, we got the $40,000. We obviously used it in a good way. And we love Ify. I think she's an amazing person and a great locker room presence. And we wish her the best as well.
Yeah, she was also kind of like the OG for the fits here at Gotham. She started that here. So, yeah, going to miss her. The the little fits from her.
Yeah. And in the day, Utah got two quality players on and off the field as well. Yeah. I mean, I started calling this offseason, I started calling Utah Gotham C. Angel City is Gotham B, but I don't know if that's the case anymore. I mean, Haught, Dorsey, Iffy, Monahan, Real. Am I missing one? That's a real New Jersey, New York feel to the Royals right there. So when the schedule comes out, if they are coming to Red Bull Arena, I'm circling that right away. Man, that's going to be an emotional homecoming.
Yeah, these two players that are going to Utah, Iffy and Dorsey, both players with national team experience, which is a plus for Utah. And it would be great to see all the players at Red Bull Arena. Both Dorsey and Onumanu deserve to be, again, like you said, in the team that gives her minutes. Both players help push the new CBA, which include a significant salary increase, free agency, and increased staffing requirements, and access to paid parental and mental health leave.
Yeah. And another big bummer, obviously, is Amani Dorsey. Amani is a quality person on and off the pitch. This one hurts a little bit because I liked her a lot. She was a good ambassador for the team. She had a rough year last year. She took a lot of personal time. I'm glad she's got it together and is going to take her traits to Utah. She was obviously very good on the back end. She was a founding member of the BWPC. Amazing. She was, I think that was a 2021 Social Impact Award winner. Incredible person. And one of the best 1v1 defenders in the league. And I always looked forward to seeing her square off against Trinity Rodman. I always thought she got the best of Trinity, which is not an easy thing to do. So I think that Utah, again, got a good player. And just hashtag once Gotham, happy for her.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, she helped pass the mental health leave. And she took advantage of it last year. She took a year off with Gotham for mental health reasons. And I'm so glad she did it because she came back and she looked so much happier. She looked renewed, refreshed. And I'm so glad that she was able to take the opportunity and take advantage of all these benefits that should be a standard, but not they were not before. So I'm so glad and can't wait to see her play again.
Yeah. Absolutely. But that's not the only sad move away from this club. Well, sad, happy. I guess we're happy for her. But Christy Mewis departs for West Ham United. She joined them on Friday, 22nd of December. And after Gotham FC and the national teamer agreed to a mutual termination of their contract.
Whew. I think I was mentally prepared for this one. And I was kind of mentally prepared for like anything this season. It's sad to see her go, but I think she completed her mission here at Gotham, and now it's time for a new mission out there.
Yeah, you know, friend of the show, Coach Jeremy, I'll call him Coach Jeremy, pointed out that Christy came to this club at a time when we needed a star, and it was true. And we thank her for that. And it was weird. I remember at the time where she got moved to for the expansion draft, she got moved to San Diego. But then she told them she wanted to come to Gotham. I remember going like, really? She wants to come here? Like, because that's where we were at the time. And now it's like completely different. Now it's like, all right, come one, come all. It was crazy. We're always going to respect her for that. She was an amazing player on the field. And yeah, good luck to her.
Yeah. And I think this is more like a love calling. And you can't turn that away. You can't turn away from that. It was either Sam coming back to the NWSL or Mua is going overseas. And I don't think Sam will come back to the NWSL anytime soon. So, yeah, I think, we all knew that she was going to go over to London. And just good luck, Christy.
I originally was not going to watch the U.S. Women's National Team documentary. I was like, this is like, first it was like PTSD. The most boring. Yeah, it was the most boring roster that we've put together. Like, so there was nothing really exciting about that roster. Like, everyone who's on there was like, okay, yeah, they should be on that roster. Maybe Savannah DeMello was probably like the curveball of the roster. Yeah. Everyone else was like, okay. It was kind of a boring coach. No offense to him, but He was boring. Yeah, the results weren't that interesting. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to watch this. This is not very interesting. But I had some free time. And I was like, you know what? Let's watch it. And it was good to see they focused the documentary on Gotham players, Christy and Lynn and making the squad. So it was good to see that they followed that storyline instead of the actual team's results storylines. So yeah, so I learned a little bit about storytelling there as well. But in the documentary, Christy mentions that, like, she goes, me and Sam are tired of living apart. And I was like, oh, bummer. Yeah. I guess she's gone. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm just glad for her. But they might actually have the chance to square off January 14th, which has been dubbed the Sportsmanship Cup, when West Ham plays Chelsea. Yeah, that should be really, really interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be watching just for that, for sportsmanship. But going back to that Netflix documentary, now that you mentioned Lynn, I remember that Lynn was posting on her Instagram stories about her niece that it's a super fan of Sam Kerr. But not like Sam Kerr is like her favorite soccer player, and that's her niece. So when they were watching the documentary, the niece was more excited to see Sam Kerr on TV than she was excited to see Lynn Williams on TV. So I thought that was funny. Anyway.
Yeah. Lynn said that her niece has like a poster of Sam Kerr up there and not her. Yeah. On her wall.
I just think it's funny. It's really funny. Yes. Anyway, 2024. So this is a new chapter for Gotham, and I'm very excited to see how everything unfolds.
Yeah, as we said before, that plus Ali's departure, plus allocation money, plus salary cap increase is how Gotham signs players. Let's move over to the draft on January 12th. So make sure that you dust off your off-air antennas, which is funny. The draft is going to be on Ion, which we will get into the streaming deal on a later podcast. I'm not in the mood right now. So this one is going to be interesting. So here comes the draft and Gotham's one draft pick. It's very exciting. So last pick of the first round. And I posed the question to the fans over at on Twitter at OverGothamPod. And I said, Gotham has one draft pick, the last pick of the first round. If the rumor signings are true, what position should Gotham target in the draft? And the fans said 26% said outside back, 60% said keeper, 12% said trade up or more picks, which I think is out of the question now. I think Gotham has money to do any kind of trading. other than that, so if Gotham stays put, I think that they have to go either keeper, outside back, or center back. Ruby, what do you think?
I think keeper. Yeah,
they need two keepers, right?
Mm-hmm. I say another keeper, but we'll see how they go with this, and they probably might even surprise us at the draft.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about it, the possible picks. Obviously, it's interesting because the draft list gets updated pretty much every day with new players adding to the list. But at the current moment, as of today, I'm looking at the list and looking at players that possibly Gotham would pick at that number 12 pick. And I'll tell you why I think that they might be picked by Gotham. In the top one, I just did a mock draft with Soccer Dossier. That should be coming out soon, but I'll give you a little hint. I picked McKenna Morris, a forward out of Clemson. She's listed as a forward, but she plays both outside back and forward, very much in the Midge Purse and Taylor Smith kind of mold, where she can play both sides. So I think that Gotham going into that Olympics, they're going to need players that can play multiple positions and have a lot of flexibility. So she's really good, and she scored 10 goals from the outside wing back or forward role last season. I think she could be good offensively as well. Now, what's interesting about this draft is it's very top heavy as far as forwards and attackers, and Gotham doesn't really need any attackers. Everybody's signed until 2025. I think we're pretty good there. Keeper and center back are very thin, so if you do not get the top pick or top five picks, you're probably going to lose out on keepers and center backs. So Leah Freeman is the top goalkeeper in the draft, and she's out of Duke. She was played at Oregon before. Excellent shot stopper, is a really good keeper with a pretty high ceiling, but I expect her to go a little bit before when Gotham picks. And after that, I don't think there's a keeper that's really worth drafting at that 12 pick. Then with center back, the center back out of Notre Dame is probably the highest draft pick, and it's Gaetano. Gaetano. She's excellent, but again, she'll go before Gotham picks. So there is a player out of Florida State, Lauren Flynn, who's excellent. She's very much in the mold of Tanner Davidson and Lopez, where she's a ball-playing center back. She can play out of the back, and she's got a good wheels. I think she would be a good fit. So if they're not going outside back, I think Lauren Flynn is a good pick out of Florida State. Let's roll the dice again out of Florida State player.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely there's some decision making here for Gotham. We'll see what they go with. I say keeper, but I mean, like, but then you also mentioned the Olympics now. So now you're making me think. So I could probably see them take Lauren, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. More than likely, I think the team might bring back Beatos. I don't see why they wouldn't. She's a good player, a good person. She fits. She's right here. Why not bring her? If she wants to play, why not? So then they would leave one more spot as a keeper. And whether McClellan is on this roster or not, I have no idea. So that would mean getting one keeper. But I think you can get keepers outside of the draft. There's the pool is so big. It's just, yeah. So I'd rather them draft a center back or outside back. But let's have a little fun. Let's do our little bit of an off-season recap of the show. Let's give our thoughts and takeaways of our third season of Soccer Over Gotham. So we had a pretty good growth this year. 65% of our listeners joined us for the first time, which is pretty exciting. So that's very, very good. We are the number one podcast for 29 of our fans on Spotify, which I'm super excited about. Well, we had a big, huge growth, and I'm just super excited. And our top episode was our last episode of our championship episode. We definitely crushed it on the last episode. So I'm super excited. But shout out to our friend Jenna Tonelli. She was on some of our top listened to episodes this season. I'm very excited about that and good to have her back, and always respect her coverage.
Yeah, awesome coverage that she does for Gotham. And you guys should go read all her articles because they're amazing, very informative, really well written. And I have to mention it one more time. Jenna, you got to pay up. You got to make that video of you playing the flute. If not, we're just going to like blackmail you. I don't know.
So what would you say would be our successes this season?
For this season, I think didn't really think about this one, but I think the community that we're building, it's really special, and I feel that I belong somewhere, and I really love it, going onto Twitter, going into Instagram, and just like being with the community that we have built and interacting with them. I think it's I think that's one of my biggest successes for the year. For that season, for the last season that we did of Soccer Over Gotham. I hope that we keep growing, and I hope that you guys keep supporting us. By the way, thank you guys for your t-shirt orders, y'all, your merch orders. Thank you so much. We had a couple of new designs out there, and I'm so glad you guys like them and order them.
Yeah, our fans are the best. They simply are. They make you feel like you belong here, which is nice. And I think one of our biggest successes is we switched up a little bit during the World Cup and put out some World Cup specific shows. And we had amazing guests, amazing guests. Renee Washington was incredible. And I can't wait to have her on to tell her actual story. She's an incredible person. Obviously having Nicole Baxter back on was amazing. And I know next time we have Baxter on, we got to cut down on the amount of topics because Baxter can talk.
Yeah, we could have kept going for another hour.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have Nicole Baxter on, and I have some ideas for the Olympics this year, which I think are gonna be pretty interesting. And yeah, and obviously having Hugh Menzies on telling the story of Jamaica and the rise of the women's national team there is incredible as well. Yeah, it was definitely one of my favorite interviews this season. And what about yours? What was your favorite interviews?
One of my favorite, I think it will have to be Jasmine Ryan. Really like that interview with her.
Yeah, that's the whole reason that we're here. And when we started out and we were talking to Gotham about what we wanted to do as a podcast, they mentioned like you could talk to, you know, the U.S. women's national team players. I said, that's not really what I'm interested in. Like, I want to tell the stories of the players that don't get their story told. And Yasmin is one of them. And Jean is one of them as well. Yes. Because like, like, yes, we could probably get, you know, maybe let's say we had Ali Krieger on the podcast. That would be amazing. We probably get a lot of listens, but she's been interviewed by everybody. Like, what could we possibly ask her that she hasn't been asked already? Right. Right. So right. Like, so as far as like me and like way I see our show and way I see our audience, like I don't think that would be very interesting to our audience to have her say the same things that she said everywhere else. Like, we know her story, yeah. But I still would, obviously, Ali, if you're there, you're listening, come on the show, obviously. Yeah. But I really want to dig into all the players that are around the edges and tell their stories. And, you know, Kelly Livingstone getting her back on after not getting a chance to talk to her last season. Wow, that was so much fun. And yeah, I look forward to that this season. More players that are around the edges. And again, that's why we're here. And do we have any like stories from the season that you want to tell or anything like that?
Any stories? Wow. I think I already told some of these stories, but one that comes, since you were just talking about Ali Krieger right now, that comes to mind was that time where I was like, it was after the game. We were by the post-game conference room in the back of Red Bull Arena. And I was just standing there. I don't know what the hell I was doing on my phone, I think. And then Ali Krieger just walked by and she was like, hey, thank you for coming. Thank you for everything. She did not need to do that, but she just took time out of her day to acknowledge me and say thank you.
Yeah, what a ride she had this season.
Mm-hmm.
Storybook. Glad we were able to take that ride with her. I have an interesting story. Have I told the story on the podcast about the bad interview and bad audio? Not on the podcast, right?
No, I don't think we have, but oh my God.
All right. This is funny. So early on in the season, I was on a guest on another podcast and they use like Skype, and which don't do that. If you're a podcast tip, don't use Skype. It's the worst. And Skype changed all of my audio settings on my computer. So when I did an interview like the next morning, I got up, did my interview, and then I downloaded the interview and it sounded like I was speaking through a bullhorn, I was surprised the guest didn't tell me I was sounding like that. And I was like, this audio is just not able to be saved. I'm like, what do? I want to get this interview out there, but you know, this is not savable. So I'm like, do I ask the person to come back and do the whole interview again? That's really annoying. I was like, you know what? I'm going to download the transcript and I'm just going to read back all my lines and I'm just going to cut it back in. So there is an interview somewhere in this season. I'll let you guys tell me which one it is. I'm sure maybe people who have been here from the beginning know which one I'm talking about because they probably picked it up on it. But my energy is just not quite matching the interview, but I'm there. It came out okay. No one said anything. So I think I passed. But it's like there's two ways. My energy doesn't match. And then usually like when we're talking or you're interviewing somebody, there's always like in the middle, you're going to be like, yeah, or mm-hmm. You'll get that in the background. Like those aren't in that episode or in that interview.
Oh,
it's just
God.
Like silence when they're talking. So, I learned a lot this year. So I learned how to do that, which is fun.
I can just imagine how long it took you to like just edit that, like re-recording yourself and just like... like paste it where it's supposed to go. Plus, if anyone is listening right now and you could tell which interview it is, go ahead and like tag us on Instagram or Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, or Threads. Just tag us, let us know that which interview or which episode you think it is, and we'll let you know if it's that one.
Yeah. So what are we manifesting for next season?
Oh my God, a lot of things. But first of all, the first thing that I want to manifest, because I think that's the first thing that's going to happen this year, it will be winning against San Diego Wave on March 16th, because we need to win against San Diego. That's one thing I'm manifesting right off the bat. And why not back-to-back championships? And third and lastly, I want us to like double our listeners.
Yeah, we do that. And I'm just manifesting that the players end up healthy at the end of the season. It's a long season. It's a grueling season. And with the Olympics and all that stuff, hopefully all the players make it through, no injuries, all happy and healthy. And as you said, lifting another trophy. So any random thoughts before we head out?
So I do have a random thought. It's kind of funny that happened on Christmas Day. My family, we celebrate Christmas on the 24th on Christmas Eve. So we went to my father-in-law's house and we partied there. We were drinking. We had dinner. We opened our gifts at midnight, the whole shebang, whatever. Went to bed. We slept over at their house. And because it was cold that night, we were drinking Coronas, and it was cold. So we're like, you know what? We don't have any space in the fridge, so we're just gonna put the Coronitas, like the Coronas, outside so they can stay cold. And I think we probably went through like half of like the box. It was a 24 pack, and we just left them outside. Next morning, looking for them, we couldn't find them. Someone stole the Coronas that were outside the door.
You don't got a Ring camera or nothing like that?
No, they don't have one at their house.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. So Dang. The next morning we were like, oh, it's just gone. So whoever got the Coronas, salute, cheers, and Merry Christmas, I guess.
Yes. This we're going to end this podcast on this. Krieger, Captain Krieger, is eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2027.
Ooh, wow. Right.
We will see you all on the other side of the draft sometime before preseason. All right. See you all then. Let's go.
Let's go.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the TeePublic store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at soccerovergotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.
Or in Gotham's case, it's just Bat Money.